Welcome to Ronnie Phillips Podcast. This message is made possible by the partners of Abba's House Media. Help us continue to share this message around the world about how to live free and fully alive. Visit abbashouse.com/partner to learn more. And before you leave, be sure and subscribe to Pastor Ronnie's YouTube channel. Now, here's Pastor Ronnie Phillips.
Today, when God says no, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What is His purpose behind no? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7, if you have your Bibles or you have a Bible app on your phone, if you'd turn to that passage of Scripture with me, because it's important you get this inside of you, not just this week, but every week. It's important you read the Word of God and you know the Word of God for yourself. Just hearing my interpretation and my Holy Ghost revelation of God's Word is not enough. You need to be in it for yourself. And I want you to read this with me this morning. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. The word buffet there in the Greek means to beat with a fist. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Epi upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint this word today, Lord. I want to reflect you. I want to speak what you speak. I want your heart this morning, Lord, as I deliver this important word to your people. Lord, may it be used to build endurance and to build strength for the race, for the fight, and for the journey. Lord, we love you this morning. Thank you for being here before we were. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked about the yes. God says yes when we are in alignment with God, when we are in love with God, when we are desperate for destiny. He also says yes to ensure a victory over the enemy. If you're fighting on his team, you'll receive a yes. He also says yes like he did to King David when we've completely blown it and need forgiveness. And we cry out to God, he says yes. But he also says yes when saints get to heaven. The Bible says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they shall rest from their labor and their works will follow them. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, because a no here can mean a yes there. We pray for healing, and then when people go on to be with the Lord, sometimes we are frustrated with God and we question God and we wonder why. But a no here could be a yes there. I believe Cassandra, although we had prayed and held on by faith that she would be miraculously healed on this side of heaven, she got her ultimate healing. And the saints and the Lord shouted yes just a few days ago. So the first principle you need to understand is that sometimes a no on planet Earth is a yes in heaven. And you'll never truly be able to grasp that until you are in heaven and are completely in the presence of the Lord. It doesn't help the situation here. We miss those that we've loved long since and lost a while. We miss those that we could talk to during difficult times. We miss those people who we could call at any time and they would be there for us, and then they're gone suddenly and we miss them and it leaves a hole here. But heaven shouts yes. Heaven shouts yes. No is not always an answer we want here on planet Earth. I've said many times that even in the Old Covenant, the Ten Commandments and the laws of God, we need to replace thou shalt not with don't hurt yourself or proceed with caution. Because God's not a mean and angry God. His laws and His statutes and His principles are put in place to protect us. They are put in place so that we will not hurt our witness, our family, our church, the kingdom of God. So every time you see thou shalt not, think proceed with caution. Think I love you. Think my grace is sufficient for you. Because sometimes no looks a lot like grace. I remember in the 90s, I loved Garth Brooks and still do, and he had a song early in his career called Unanswered Prayers. Many of you know that song, but he talks about being a high school student and longing for this girl to marry him. And he was just so in love with her. And he prayed that God would give him the desires of his heart. And God said no. But many years later, he was thankful because that wasn't God's best for him. And I know there are many times where we pray for things, and in that season, those things are the desires of our heart. But God says no. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, trust me. He says, proceed with caution. My ways are not your ways, and my plans are not your plans. And I have the perfect preordained path for you. If you'll trust me and get in covenant with me, I will bless you. And you'll understand why I said no in that season. A.W. Tozer says this, the cross is the lightning rod of grace that short circuits God's wrath to Christ so that only the light of His love remains for believers. Abraham Lincoln said this, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. God's character never changes. God's character never changes. James 1 verse 7. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God's character never changes. So when you're in covenant, in intimacy, in a relationship with God, His character never changes. You can always count on God being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful that His character never changes. Sometimes my character changes, amen? Sometimes your character changes. You can have a bad day. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's someone you can go to at any time for any reason, and His character will never change. His love will never fail. And His grace is in abundance for every screw up, every mess up, every problem that you've ever had, every bit of pain you're feeling this morning. His grace is sufficient for you. God can change His mind, but not His character. We look in Jonah. And after Jonah rebels against God and gets swallowed up by the whale and spit out and all of those things you learn about in Sunday school, he finally gets in a place of alignment and obedience with God. I don't even know if he was in a place of love yet, but he got into a place of obedience. And he goes to Nineveh. He warns the king, and the king repents, issues a decree, has everyone turn back to God, put on the sackcloth, and repent. And it says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He relented and did not bring on them the destruction He had planned. So God can change His mind, but He never changes His character. He is consistent, but through our prayers and our obedience, we can change His mind. Somebody say amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that He changed His mind about you when you were in sin? When you came to Him, aren't you glad that he saved you when you didn't deserve it? Aren't you glad that he loves you on your worst day? Aren't you glad that he is with you when no one else is with you and everyone else has abandoned you? God is with you. And his character holds steady to the truth of who he is, who he's always been. But in this particular chapter in 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks of being caught up in the third heaven. He uses the word paradise in this particular chapter, which comes from a Persian word, which means a walled garden. When a Persian king wanted to confer a special honor onto someone, he made him a companion of the garden and gave him the royal right to enter into places that others weren't welcome. So when you have intimacy with God, you're given the royal right to see things and hear things and go to a place that other people aren't welcome. So Paul knew a thing or two about the kingdom. He knew a thing or two about the Holy Ghost. He knew a thing or two about grace because he'd been a murderer of Christians. He was blinded on Damascus Road. God changed his life radically. And he knew a thing or two about how to get in that place with God. And he speaks of paradise here. He had become a friend of God. So you can be saved. You can get your golden ticket into heaven. You can go to church. You can memorize scripture. You can be a part of Christian clubs and organizations and play in their golf tournaments. And you can give money to needy people. But until you become a friend of God, you won't see what he wants you to see. You won't hear what he wants you to hear. And you won't do what he wants you to do. Because there's a different relationship one can have with God which causes you to advance his kingdom. The Apostle Paul knew how to get in God's glory, but he also dealt with extreme pain. That's what the text is about, the thorn in his flesh. The Greek word for thorn there is skolops, and this means a stake. A penetrating stake, like you drive into someone's heart to kill them, or like you would nail to a cross. A stake. Paul felt as if something was penetrating his body, his mind. It means, a fist to the head. That's what it felt like for Paul all the time. Now, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh? I don't know with 100 degree of certainty, but I want to give you what some people have thought over the years, and then I'll give you my personal opinion about what it is. But you'll have to hear from God on what you think it is. But the first thing it could have been were spiritual temptations. John Calvin believed this was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul would often question his call and his identity because of all that he'd done wrong in his past. He was in a constant war with who he was supposed to be. And there was no amount of success that could come in the kingdom that would give him the complete peace he needed. Even though he wrote most of our New Testament and God used him radically, he would often try to question who he was in here. And those kinds of things can happen to you. In your childhood, maybe dad left, maybe mom left, maybe you were abused, maybe you weren't loved, maybe things weren't spoken to you. And no matter how much glory can be going on outside of you, there's something hurting inside of you. Now, I don't particularly believe that's what the Word teaches, but I do believe that that interpretation applies. Because I don't care what someone looks like on the outside, they can be dying on the inside. And for those of us that know Jesus Christ, we need to stop judging people and we need to start loving people and try to find out who they are in here if we're going to see God do something in their lives. The next thing I would call sinful, sovereign, or uncontrollable temptations. Martin Luther believed that the opposition and beatings that Paul would face when he would enter into different cities, that those things were the thorns in his flesh. He was resisted and judged everywhere he went. Shipwrecked, abandoned, beaten to a pulp, thrown in prison. This guy knew what it was like to serve God. He didn't serve God for the fame or the money or the prestige or the prosperity or to be on Christian television or anything else. This guy served God because he took a drink of something that quenched his thirst. but made him thirsty all at the same time. You see, Jesus will quench your thirst, but he'll also make you thirsty for more of him if you've met the real Jesus. Sexual temptations. Now, I don't believe this relates, but some theologians believed that this may be what it was, because he went without. And we know that monks and hermits would cut themselves off from that kind of activity, and they felt like that was the last temptation to go in their walk with the Lord. But I don't believe that any of these were the thorn in Paul's flesh. The word stake again means savage pain. It's something that's driven into your body. Paul wasn't a handsome man. The Bible even talks about the fact that his eyes would leak with green goop, and he was ugly. The Word of God even said he was not a good-looking man. But I believe that Paul had epilepsy. He would have seizures and become weak in front of people. Even when people would beat him and hurt him, he would have seizures and those kinds of things. And it would cause him to foam at the mouth and do embarrassing things in front of people. And it questioned his apostleship because, you know, here he is preaching, being this radical preacher, and then he would go into a seizure, and his eyes had conjunctivitis going on, and all of these things, and he would start shaking, and people would be like, well, if he's really a servant of God, he wouldn't be carrying on like this. He'd be healed. Can I tell you this morning that that's a religious spirit? Whenever you try to put yourself in the place of God and you start saying who gets it and who don't and who deserves it and who don't, you're out of alignment with God. You and I don't get to decide who God loves and who he uses and who he heals. That's beyond our comprehension as to who and what God wants to do and who for. That's his choice. Galatians 4 verse 14, in my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. This is Paul talking. But you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So he's saying, listen, with all my seizures and all of my problems, you received me as one of your own. Paul said the Galatians saw him in his infirmity. They saw his thorn, but they didn't reject him for it. The Greek word there means they literally did not spit at him. So he was used to being spit on when he would try to serve Jesus. How many of you ever feel like you've been spit on for serving Jesus or disrespected? I got more haters now serving Jesus than I had when I was living like hell. It's a fact. I got more haters now serving Jesus than I had serving the devil. Because I'm telling you, ain't nothing worse than a religious spirit. Religion wants to control the things of God, wants to control the climate and the atmosphere. While true freedom that comes from Christ means that things begin to change. You deal with what's going on in here. You deal with your thorn. Sight trouble. All kinds of things. Paul would say, I wrote to you, to the Galatian church, in large letters. We know that when he was blinded on Damascus Road, he probably never truly got out of his own way and could completely see like God had called him to. He had sickness issues and all kinds of things. But I believe that it was malarial fever and seizures that he would struggle with his entire ministry. People who have malaria describe it as a red-hot bar being thrust through the forehead, which sounds like the Greek translation of stake to me. If you've ever had an extreme migraine, times that by 100 and add seizures to it and a fever, and that's what this man who wrote most of the New Testament was dealing with on a daily basis. And he asked the Lord to take it from him 3 times. And the Lord said to him, my grace, my unmerited, undeserved favor is sufficient for you. Sometimes no sounds a lot like yes. And sometimes no is a perfect picture of grace. God's telling you no, but instead of hearing no, you need to hear grace. You need to hear grace. You need to come to the understanding that you aren't all that you need to be. And I'm not all that I need to be, but by His grace we have been saved. God will use anyone who can grab a hold of that grace and do something with it. Grace can't be earned. Grace is not a list of rules. Grace is the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can't earn grace. You can't memorize for grace. God saves you by His grace because He's a good God. He's a loving God. He's not mad at you. He has a greater plan than you could ever imagine if you'll just grab hold of His grace. And as I said the first week of January in this church, that when the rumor gets out, it may be a year, it may be 2 years, it may take my entire ministry, but when the rumor gets out that this house is a house of grace, we will not have enough room in this place. When the culture begins to match the message of grace, when we show grace, when we speak grace, when we forgive, when we love people that other churches won't love, this place will be too small for what God wants to do. But I'm telling you, God wants to give you a second chance. God wants to bless you. And God wants to heal you, but maybe He's not healing you on this earth because your testimony and your endurance and your strength is a blessing for someone else. Maybe God will use your weakness or your struggle or your journey so that someone else that doesn't know Christ may look at where you've been or what you've done or how long you served in prison or whatever it may be, and God may look at you and say, "My grace is sufficient with you. I could have gotten you out of that mess. I could have reached down and fixed it, but I'm going to get the glory for your story." And God wants to get the glory for your story. And your story may not be what you thought it was going to be when you were 8 years old, but it's God's story now. And He's going to use it. Somebody shout amen. Amen. God says no when we lack faith into the things of God. He says no when we lack faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Faith is the confidence that we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things to come. Hebrews chapter 11 goes through all these patriarchal saints of God. And they reward them for their faith. And even though they didn't get what they thought they should have gotten, they died believing for it. Amen? God says no when we lack faith. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Number two, God says no to build our endurance. Aren't you tired of the devil whipping you? Aren't you tired of going back to the same life, the same smells, the same conversations, the same drugs, the same gossip, the same judgmental attitude, the same this, the same that, the same religious spirit, the same denominationalized way of thinking that you've always gone back to during difficult times? Don't you want to go to the God of grace? Don't you want to go to the God that loves you? Don't you want to go to the God that will say to you in your weakness, "My grace is sufficient for you"? God wants you to be able to endure hardships. God wants to be able to use your story for His glory. But you have to submit your life to God and surrender it completely to God and say, "Resurrect this thing, Jesus. Resurrect this thing." And let me tell you, because I've walked this, you cannot worry what people think. Forget them. Go on with God. Go on with God. Give God praise this morning. Y'all won't disturb me giving God praise, amen? Y'all are getting Presbyterian-like in here. Y'all need to learn how to praise Jesus a little bit. My Lord. Hey, I don't care if you praise Him or not. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him up here all by myself if I have to, because He's worthy of it, amen? Because I know what it's like to have a thorn. I know what it's like to feel abandoned and broken, like a loser. But I know what it's like when God says, "No, son, you're a winner. And I'm going to use all of your story for my glory." And I'm telling you, God wants to use you today. And you need to stop letting the enemy or your thorn keep you from being all that God has called you to be. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You may never have won a trophy or won anything on this earth, but you can win the crown of life in glory for those that endure temptation. Paul would say, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. I would like to add to that passage of Scripture, I've fought the good fight with a thorn in my flesh. I've finished this race with a thorn in my flesh. And I've kept the faith with a thorn in my flesh. See, some of you have allowed the thorn or your struggle to keep you from serving God and to put you out of the game. God wants you to stay in the game with your thorn so that he can get the glory from your story. Stay in the game this morning. Stay in the race this morning. Don't quit this morning. Don't quit on your church. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on your dreams. Don't quit on your passion. Don't quit on what he has for you. Stay in there. Religious spirits always want to ask me, do you think you can lose your salvation? Listen, the Jesus I met doesn't take back his gifts. Now, I don't know if you're truly saved or not. Only God can answer that question. But I believe if you've truly got it, you will persevere and endure no matter the thorn you've got until the end. That's what I believe. I believe it because I believe in grace. I don't believe you can earn it. I don't believe a smug look will get it done. I believe it's brokenness and surrender that gets you to God. Not an uppity, I'm better than you, I'm more religious than you attitude. It is by grace we have been saved. You don't deserve it, you're not worth it or worthy of it, but God is in you. And you've got to trust him. You don't always need a yes here when you are guaranteed one there. Your no may be someone else's yes. His grace is on time even if it's not your time. His grace is on time even if it's not your time. His grace will carry you when you can't carry on. His grace will carry you when you can't carry on. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It has nothing to do with you. It is the gift of God, not by your works. God says no, because his grace is sufficient for you. And I close there. And if you get one thing out of this message, it's this. No sounds a lot like grace. No sounds a lot like grace. How many of you have tried to raise a child? Do you let them do everything they want to do? Do you ever tell them no? If you're not, you're not worth a flip as a parent. When you tell your child no, does that mean you don't love them? It means you know what's best for them. What they think's best at 12, 15, 6, or 8, you know is not what's best for them. God works the same way. No sounds a lot like grace. Paul would go on to say, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At just the right time. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. So I close with his grace is sufficient for your illnesses, your pain, your struggles, your doubts, your hurts, your past, your present, your future, your diagnosis, your disease, your loss. His grace is sufficient for you. Somebody just say, his grace is sufficient for me. I think something powerful happens when we confess. Just say, his grace is sufficient for me. The Bible would say in Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus died for your emotional pain, your physical pain, your struggle, your thorn, but he died for you to have eternity and for you to have peace on this earth. How could Stephen look into the eyes of those that were stoning him about to die and be still giving God the glory and say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Don't hold this against them, those that are stoning me. Why? Because his grace was sufficient for Stephen. And if his grace was sufficient for Stephen, his grace will be sufficient for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a while, perfect, which means brought to maturity, establish, which means strengthen a foundation, and settle you. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what his grace will do to you. And you won't live the rest of your life with anxiety trying to figure out what God is doing. You'll trust him in the storm. You'll trust him in the season. You'll trust him during the good times and during the bad times, making sure that you don't fall short of the grace of God. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews chapter 10 and the entire book of Hebrews, but particularly in 10, 11, and 12, I really believe his character pours through those three chapters. And this is what it says. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Some of you have a root of bitterness against God. Some of you listening and watching this broadcast, hearing this message, watching online this morning, you have bitterness against God, and you're too spiritual to admit it. You had a bad circumstance. You lost a child. You had all of these things going on, and you've been mad at God because you wanted a yes and you got a no. And I can't make that pain go away, but what I can promise you is his grace is sufficient for the no that you received. His grace is sufficient for the no. Because God doesn't think about things like we think about them. He is an eternal God. This is but a vapor, a job interview, just a quick passage. He thinks of things from an eternal perspective, from a life everlasting perspective, from a glory to glory perspective. And his grace is sufficient for whatever season you're in your life. But you need to forgive God. And you can forgive God by trusting him, letting go of that hurt, letting go of that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that anger. Let it go. Let it go this morning. Yeah, you didn't deserve it, but let it go. Yeah, it wasn't fair, but let it go. Let it go. Don't let it become a thorn. His grace is sufficient for you. Bow your head and close your eyes. All over this place this morning, although we've preached on when God says no, I'm going to challenge you to say yes to God this morning and to accept that grace that is sufficient for you. To trust him that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not have peace with God this morning, I want you to have peace. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And how are you saved? You are saved by his grace through faith. And if you need access to that grace that will be sufficient for you in whatever season of life you're in, You have to confess Jesus as Lord. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you to pray this prayer with me in your heart or out loud. Now this prayer won't get it done if your heart's not in it. God is looking at your heart. This prayer is simply a guide to help you confess. But I want you to pray this prayer. Abba's House, help me this morning. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, please come into my life and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. I confess that your grace is sufficient for me. And by your stripes, I am healed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, some of you prayed that prayer in a minute for the first time in your life. You've prayed it many times. You've glued macaroni on a paper plate at Bible school, but you prayed it and you really do mean it this time. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come down. We're not going to parade you on the stage or embarrass you. We're going to pray with you, take you to a private area, make sure you get some stuff to help you get started, and baptize you in the next 3 or 4 weeks so you can confess your faith in front of people. Because the Bible says, if you'll not confess me in front of your friends, I will not confess you in front of my Father. That's what Jesus said. So you don't need to be ashamed of the grace that is sufficient for you. Amen? Amen. But some of you this morning, you're saved, but you've got a thorn. And that thorn is eating your lunch. And I don't know whether God is saying yes to heal you, or he's saying no, my strength needs to be made perfect in your weakness. But I can promise you this, faith will move God's hand. And if you need to be healed this morning, I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment and receive a touch from our prayer team. Let them pray for you, for that thorn to be removed, or for you to have the endurance to deal with it, and for God to use your thorn to reach other people. And some of you, you don't have a church home. You're religious, which is okay, but it's not God's best. And you want to be a part of a house of grace and help us reach people with this message of grace. And you need to come in covenant and join this church and help us do what God has called us to do. You know you need to. So I'm going to ask you to get in the game. Bring your thorns with you and join a family full of thorns, and we'll endure together. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our pastors to quickly move in place. We're going to go into worship. And I'm going to pray. But as Brian starts to lead us, the Holy Spirit is here. God is here. You come, and don't let the enemy or your thorn keep you from your miracle this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us, for your strength that's made perfect in our weakness. Lord, I ask you to move in power over your people. May they bring their thorns. May they bring their problems. May they bring their pain to receive a touch from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us today for Pastor Ronnie's message. Connect with us at abbashouse.com or ronniephillips.org. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. If it has, please subscribe to our podcast. You can invest in helping others live free and fully alive by giving at abbashouse.com/give. Thanks for listening.